Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, the truth of God, and the truth of God regardless of what some people may think about it. But how can we have understanding of what's going on? Have you looked at the news and wondered, how can these things be? How can they keep going on? How come no one can do anything about it? How is it that 50 to 70 to 80% of the people are against the things that are being imposed upon them? And how does it keep coming upon them? What can we do about it? First of all, you need to recognize what is the cause. You think there's really going to be an honest politician stand up and be elected to be president? And do you think if he or she were, that they would have the power to do anything with a lying, corrupt Congress and with judges who have their own ungodly agenda? Now, the truth is, final solution is the return of Christ. But let's talk about why we are where we are today. And let's see how it's perfectly described here in Isaiah 59. Everyone wonders, well, where is God? Have you ever thought of the question God is wondering, where are you? Why haven't I heard from you recently? Why haven't you repented and started keeping my laws and commandments? And that's New Testament doctrine. Jesus said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. Remember, he was Lord God of the Old Testament, so that includes all the Word of God, does it not? Do you do that? No one likes to hear messages of gloom and doom. But what are you going to do if nothing else is going to happen but gloom and doom because of the sins of the people? Oh, but it's his sins. No, it's your sins. It's my sins. Everyone needs to repent, from the greatest to the least, in sackcloth and ashes. That happened one time in the nation of Assyria at Nineveh. Jonah was sent to preach, and they believed and repented, and the king issued a decree that all human beings were to fast and pray to God, and they did not even have the word of God sent to them, just the message of God to repent of your evil. And with such thorough repentance, they also made all of the animals fast as well. And the king took off his robes and dressed himself in sackcloth and ashes. Let's try that, Washington, D.C. Let's try that, the leaders of Congress. Let's see you humble yourself in truth. They won't do that because they're dedicated to another cause. They only use God as a convenience to hoodwink the people that they're righteous. Now, there may be one or two who are very sincere. But nevertheless, they need to repent too. So let's answer the question. Why isn't God doing anything about it? The answer is, he is doing something about it, but he's not going to take it away until a certain condition is met by everyone individually. Verse 1, Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Well, then why, God, won't you hear? You know what God told Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, these people are so evil and have not changed their ways and won't amend their ways and have not repented. Therefore, do not pray to me for them, because I will not hear you. Are we at that point now in this nation? Are you at that point in your life? Where do you stand before God? Verse 2, but your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood. Number one offense, abortion, murder, stealing, lying, cheating. and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calls for justice. Oh, they say they are, but it never happens. Nor does anyone plead for truth, the real truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. No, not even from the pulpit. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Is that not true? That's why the news doesn't improve. And when there's a little glimmer of hope, because there's no repentance, it never turns out the way that people think. See, because all of the other things and schemes, all of the other plans and slogans, all of the other movements and things that people are going to do, even if it's into millions, unless there's repentance to the true God in heaven above, nothing is going to change or improve. Come down here to verse 7. Their feet run to evil. All of their activities, they don't come to God. Oh, they want all the things that they do. Run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. They have not known the way of peace, and there is no justice in their ways. They've made crooked paths for themselves. Whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Isn't that your evening news? Then the lying commentators try and tell you, oh, well, this is really for our good. Let's read on. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake it. We wait for light, but behold, darkness just gets worse and worse and worse. It's like it says there in the book of Amos. A man ran away from a bear and got in a house and leaned up on a wall and a snake bit him on the hand. You feel that way? Yes. It's coming. It's coming. We look for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. We grope along the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. Among those who are strong, we are like dead men. That describe this nation? All of the political activity that goes on? Who can you trust? Who is really their master behind the scene? Who are the real super elite that run this world and worship Satan the devil and control the things that go on in religion, in business, in finance, and in government? Who are they? They never really show themselves, but they have minions doing their work. How's that going to be corrected? Well, it's not. That's going to be Jesus Christ's job. What is your job? Your job is to listen to God, repent, and straighten out your life. Let's go on. Verse 15. Yea, truth fails. He who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it was evil in his eyes, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no intercessor. Who's really on God's side? Remember what happened when Moses came down off the mount, when he was up there receiving the Ten Commandments of God? And the children of Israel made the golden calf, Aaron made it, and said, this is a feast unto the Lord. Came down, Moses was so angry, he smashed the tablets of stone that had the Ten Commandments written on them by the finger of God. And Moses said, everyone who's on the Lord's side, get over here. And boy, a lot of them repented and came over on God's side. And what happened to all of the rebels and all of the idolaters and all the liars? The earth opened up, swallowed them as a testimony to the power of God. No one is going to mock God. No one is going to go against God and expect blessings. Not just the fact of life. Now let's see how bad it's really going to get. Prophesied 3,500 years ago. Does God know what things are and what's going to happen? Yes, indeed. Let's come to Deuteronomy 28. Now, this is a chapter that everyone loves to read the first part of it. See, because everyone wants blessings. Everyone wants the positive thing. Everyone wants, because they desire the good that comes from God. But they don't desire to do the good that will bring the blessings that come from God. Every human being is perverse in his thinking, man and woman alike. They want to do their own sneaky, lying, conniving, sinful ways and expect that everything will work out right. But it never does. Deuteronomy 28, here's what God says. Now, as I read this, I want you to evaluate your life. I want you to evaluate what you do. You can't take care of the politicians because they have to be accountable for their lives. And you're not going to solve the problems that are coming because they are coming from God by trying to change the economics and by trying to change the politics and by trying to elect someone who is honest. There is not one. Now, there are some valiant people out there trying. But unless they all turn to God, it isn't going to work. Because you're not fighting against human beings, you're fighting against God. You're not looking at a problem, you're looking at the punishment of God. Now here's what God said, evaluate your life, evaluate the country. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 28, it shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Did that not happen when we were righteous, when we were following the truth of God to the best of our ability at that time? Yes, indeed. When we founded this nation on the word of God, when we brought God into all of the state constitutions, were we not blessed? Yes, indeed. It says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if, you know, I've thought about, I'd like to do a Bible edition to capitalize that word in bold all the way through the Bible, I-F, if. Here's the condition. You want the blessings? If. You will obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then he says, blessed will you be in the city. Blessed will you be in the field. Blessed will be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall you be your basket in store. Blessed shall you be when you go in and when you come out. And the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be stricken before your face. And we'll see in Leviticus 23, he says, five of you shall chase 1,000. But if you disobey, 1,000 of you will be chased by 5 of them. Sound a little bit like terrorist warfare, doesn't it? Think about it. Verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you abound in goods, and the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. And the Lord shall open his good treasure, the heaven, to give you the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall loan to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Listen to that last sentence again. You shall loan to many nations, and shall not borrow. What are we today? The most indebted nation in the history of the world, to the tune of all of our debts, public and private, to well over $200 trillion borrowed. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. That's where we've been. What is happening? We're coming down. We're going to be the tail. You know what the tail is like? You're soon going to find out. And you shall be always above, and you shall not be beneath, if, capital I-F, if, you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today to observe to do them. And yet, what do the ministers from the pulpit say? Oh, we're blessed on this Sunday, the day the Lord has made, which he never did, was a Sabbath day. And we are so thankful that God has abolished all of the commandments in the Old Testament. We don't even have to read them anymore because they don't count. Liar. Yet people say, oh, that's good and wonderful. And then when the judgments come, which I'll read here in a minute, they say, why is the Lord doing this? We'll find out. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you. Your own personal opinion concerning the commandments of God are null and void before they even come up. But he lets you choose. He lets you make that judgment if you want to, right? Yes, he does. But as you sow, so shall you reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. That's where we are collectively as a nation and in too many lives of individuals. Verse 15. Here's the part they don't like to hear, but you got to hear it. I want to tell you something that's very important for you to remember, which is this. All of the word of God is sure and true and will take place. All of the promises of God are sure and will come. But remember, half of the promises of God are curses for disobedience. And as I read these words, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about the community that you live in. I want you to think about the state in which you live. I want you to think about the whole morality of the whole nation as we go along. I want you to think of the mounting problems that are coming against us, mentally, physically, spiritually, economically, politically. I want you to think about it because it's going to happen just as it says here in Deuteronomy 28, prophesied 3,500 years ago. God says, verse 15, and it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now listen carefully. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your livestock, and the flocks of your sheep. Is that not true? Not the way the nation is today? Are you willing to admit the truth? And this comes why? Because of sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. The promises of God are sure and coming upon us now to correct us for our evil and for rejecting God. It's not a light thing to have an opinion, say, oh, well, that's what the preacher thinks. Oh, well, I don't believe that. Oh, well, I don't agree with that. Choose whatever you will, but you are not going to change what God has said is going to be. Let's read on. This is how a lot of people feel today, verse 19. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. That how we feel in the nation today? Yes. The Lord shall send on you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings by which you have forsaken me. Have you forsaken God? Have you turned your back on God? Well, you do as God says in Isaiah the first chapter. Isaiah the first chapter, he gives a challenge to you. Isaiah 1 and verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before me, and cease to do evil. Now, when you do that, then there's something else that you also need to do. because you don't know what is right. You don't know what is good. You need the Word of God, and you need to study the Word of God. And that's why we have church at home, because you can do it in your home, because you're not going to hear this from the pulpit, and you're not going to hear this from the politicians, and you're not going to hear this from the pundits, and you're not going to hear it from the leaders of the nation. You have to do it in your own home. He says, learn to do good. The only way you're going to know what is good is what's in the Bible. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphan. Plead for the widow. Now notice, here's a promise. God is there. You go back and you look at the segment I did. Hello, God, are you there? How do I find God? Go back and go through that one again. You have to forsake your way. You have to come to God. You have to repent of your sins. And it's something you need to do in your home, because it is a deep, personal, and emotional thing that we go through when we repent. That cannot be accomplished in a church. Verse 18, God gives his promise. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Is that how you want your life turned around? Is that how you want your life changed? Well, then you need to cease your sins. You need to do what is good. You need to repent of them, and you need to come to God. And if there are enough people in the nation who would do this, perhaps the hand of God's correction would be slowed for a time being. But nevertheless, in your own personal life, it can be done. Verse 19. Here it is again. If, needs to be in capital letters, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Want to defy God? Want to go against God? Look at all these curses that we have read. I've hardly even touched on the ones that are really something. Let's come back to Deuteronomy 28. Do we have a health crisis in America? You bet we do. And it's not because of the government, and it's not because of Medicare. It's not because of Medicaid. It's not because of the insurance, the health insurance industry. It's because of our sins. Let's read what'll happen. Verse 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence to cling to you until he has consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it. The Lord shall strike you with lung disease and with a fever and with an inflammation, with extreme burning and with the sword. That's war. Do we have war? Yes. With blasting. We have tornadoes, hurricanes, winds? Yes. With mildew. Do we have rotten crops lying in the field? Yes. And they shall pursue you until you perish. You want the hand of God stayed back for a while? Well, then you and your friends and your neighbors, share these videos with your neighbors. You get out your Bibles, and you go through this, and you study it. And then each of you in your own homes, in the privacy of your own home, you repent to God the Father and Jesus Christ. And you ask God to cover your sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that you resolve to do what is right. You resolve to quit your lying, to quit your cheating, to quit your adultery, to quit your sexual obsessions. You resolve to have your life to be serving God in the way that it should be, and ask God to spare you. Ask God to be merciful to you. Ask God to lift his heavy hand from you. God is able to do that. You read Psalm 91. He can do it. But you must stop those curses in your life by repentance. Then you have to learn to do well and to do what is right and good. I know this is very difficult for people to take. It's difficult to read. But God tells me, as a minister of God, you better do it. Just because it's unpleasant doesn't mean that we can avoid it. Is your life unpleasant? Have you been avoiding turning yourself to God and repenting? Well, you can begin now. We have lots of material to help you. Go to our other website, cbcg.org. Download the series on What is the Love of God. Download the series of God's Grace and Commandment Keeping. Download the two sermons that I did on Aftershock, the coming global financial meltdown. And you're going to be shocked as what the Bible prophecies have to say in the future, and I will bring those out very soon, because the time is coming when the oppression of the whole world is going to be gathered into the hands of one man. I hope this has been helpful to you, and I hope that you will heed what we've covered here and turn your life to God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home and for listening to this video cast to help you understand what's going on in the world and how God is behind it and He can intervene for you. So this is Fred Calder saying till next time, so long, everyone.